to Your Right to Speak, discussion on social justice and advocacy. This is episode 31, and I'm your host, Salvatore. On today's episode, we'll be talking with young adult, who has started their own music business and is having a huge positive impact on youth within the York Southwestern community. We'll be talking with Freddie, who firsthand, I've seen the great impact he has had. And I truly believe in the power of music and the changes that it offers young people. So I'm very excited to start this conversation. Freddie, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Thank you for having me on your show today, Salvatore. For those listening, I'm Freddie Brabi, producer, engineer from Toronto, creative director at Just Over Music. I've been doing music for the last 10, 12 years, started out in my family, and now I'm just carrying tradition.
Well, thank you for being a guest on the show.
Thank you for having me.
What is Just Over Music, and why did you find it important to create that?
So Just Over Music is a music company. We specialize in audio services for anybody and everybody looking to have that. So for example, we've been building with the youth in the Western Mount Dennis community for the last few years, just trying to increase, I guess, or decrease the stigma around getting into music. You know, a lot of times you find, or you hear the stories of, you know, people not getting paid or things going wrong in the music industry. And what I'm here to do, or what I'm trying to do right now, is just try to show that it's people. You know, if a deal goes wrong, it's not because of the industry, it's because of a person, right? And that if you do have the passion and the zeal to pursue music, you should pursue music with all your heart and all your passion. And, you know, much like you would anything else, you know, like becoming a doctor or surgeon or, you know, basketball player. I want the youth who are interested to feel confident moving forward. So we started Just Over Music really as an opportunity to get youth from this neighborhood that I also grew up in, just more exposure to music and the industry.
I think it's great. And here at For Youth Initiative, I've seen the impact. So thank you for that.
Thank you. We're trying.
You mentioned some of the stigmas that, you know, the youth you work with go through. What are some of these stigmas and challenges that the youth within the community go through that Just Over Music is trying to address?
Well, the main thing is color, right? I think the color of your skin, as much as we would like to say, you know, we're in a progressive nation, or, you know, it's a multicultural city, you know, the color of your skin does play a role in how people perceive you, and more or less your, I hate saying this, you know, because I don't believe anybody should feel unable to do anything because of the color of their skin or stuff like that. But, you know, one thing I have realized is systematic oppression and all of these injustices do exist. So for me, you know, helping these youth recognize that, yes, these barriers, so to speak, do exist, but they're only barriers, you know, they're not like, nothing's permanent, you know, it's all about perspective and approach. So for me, as far as the stigmas that I try to address is, you know, confidence in the workplace. I think a lot of youth don't pursue employment opportunities that they believe they would be successful at simply because they haven't been exposed to it. They don't have the friends in the industry, right? You know, so that's really what I'm trying to do as far as addressing stigmas, just help alleviate the perception, right? You know, the heaviness of the perception. And I think that's it. You know, the ironic part is, you know, we've got this program designed, you know, not specifically for youth of color, but predominantly, right, that's our those are our clients. It just so happens the youth, we have one youth who's excelled, I want to say, beyond all the other ones, and he's white,
right?
You know, he's still I want to say susceptible to the stigmas of the neighborhood. You know, all his friends are black, so I imagine he's also having some conflict in that zone. But, you know, the beauty of music is it helps alleviate that. You know, I think it's music, dance, you know, the arts that do a good job of kind of eliminating the race card.
Right.
You know, so that's essentially what I'm trying to do at large, just doing my best to help these youth of color not feel like their color is prohibiting them.
So you mentioned a couple of interesting things that we may open up a can of worms, which is fine on the show. You said systematic oppression.
Yes.
So what within the community is systematic oppression?
Well, for me, the way I'm looking at it, and I think the context I'm looking at it is the context I understand of why most people come to this country, right? And I think it's money, it's an economy. You know, a lot of people come here with the idea that they're gonna make so much money, you know, and you know, they come and they realize that the money and the work don't kind of even out. And I think that is a result of, you know, one party needing work done and another party willing to do it and kind of the party in power using their power to, you know, to take advantage. And I think at large, that's where the oppression is. Like I'm saying, it's a lot of these youth are growing up unsupervised for most of their time, right? Because their parents have to work to kind of fit into this economy. Parents are retiring if they're retiring, right? With like $60,000 in debt. Not to say this is different for any particular community, but for a community, a diaspora community, you know, an immigrant community, which is prevalent here.
Right.
I think that's the main thing holding everyone back. Access to employment, like, and healthy employment, you know, like, I think the issue is not that people can't find a job. I think it's finding a job that will help you. You know what
I
mean?
Right.
Sometimes, you know, you could, the time someone spends at work is not even, you know, it won't really help them in their finances. So for me, what I'm trying to do, I guess, is help these youth understand that they can create their own economies. You know, one thing about music or music engineering in particular, I think we spoke about this, is, you know, a lot of these youth have issues with the law. You know, they've had to find other means of making money. A lot of these youth don't feel like they fit into the post-secondary system. A lot of them don't feel they fit into the high school system. With music, I mean, or at least with audio engineering, after you learn the basics, you know, you don't really need a police check. You don't, you know, as long as you know what you're doing or you know what you're doing well enough, you know, you can be successful. And the average audio engineer makes $50 an hour, you know, so, you know, 4 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, you can do the math on that, whatever that is. But, you know, that is what I'm trying to do as far as helping the youth, as far as the, you know, systematic oppression. It's all money. You know, it's all money for me.
Yeah. No, I totally see that. And it sounds like what you're really creating is another avenue for, you know, these young people to go through, that whatever their life situation or circumstances are, you're creating a space for them and a way to, I lost my train of thought, but I guess a way to live a more positive life, even though they've gone through some things.
Right. And just helping them realize, like, you know, one concept I took to as a kid is, you know, you get out what you put in, you know, and I feel like it's not, the success of the youth in this neighborhood is not because they don't want to or they're not trying or they're not smart enough. I just feel like the opportunities aren't present enough for them to understand that they can, you know what I mean? So, and that's what I also mean by, you know, systematic oppression. I think it's lack of exposure. You know, I feel like if you know, you don't necessarily need to be English, but if you go into an English school for 14 years, you know, you would get the information. You might not, you know, become the prime minister or whatever, but you now know what it is. You're informed and you're educated. So for one, I think it's the perception around these communities, the perception around people of color in general, that is actually doing more damage than, you know, than anything else. Because at the end of the day, you know, once you complete school, like I say, it's money at that point.
Right.
You know, it's how do you take care of yourself? And I think why we have such high crime rates, why we have such high violence, is because that information, which I feel like most people get when they're young, you know, your parents are teaching you about money, or you know, you're getting to walk through a grocery store to, you know, do this and that. You know, it's not really prevalent in the Black community, just as far as like at large. You know what I mean? Like I said, you've got two parent households where both parents work two jobs too. You know, so there's four jobs, and they're probably not even making enough to take care of,
right,
you know, the family. And that is the trouble I think we're going through right now. You know, just as a community. Yeah.
Do you think that a big part of what you do is that mentorship piece?
Yeah, I think that's the main piece. I think beyond the music, you know, and I think what I'm doing as far as the mentorship is applicable with any,
right,
you know, any art, you know, because the whole concept behind it really is just finding the people who are interested in teaching, mm-hmm, interested in reaching out. You know, I think, you know, as far as like advocacy, for example, I think one of the reasons why, you know, you're hearing stuff like the Me Too movement and Black Lives Matter is because you have people at a certain point in time in their life passionate to speak, yes, you know? So that I think is important. But and I think that's the same as far as mentorship, right? It's maybe I'm not willing to speak on your behalf, but I'm willing to speak to you so you understand how to handle your,
right,
you know, I want to put you in a position to be successful on your own, you know. So that's what I think the difference is between mentorship and advocacy. But I do think both are important, and I think, you know, you could have both at the same time, you know. So
yeah, definitely. So I can see, hopefully not my listeners, but I can see some people saying, you know, you have Black youth and you're doing, you know, music with, mm-hmm, them, and that is feeding into certain, you, yes, know, stereotypes, yes, of what, you know, a young Black, you know, boy or girl or, yep, whatnot, looks like.
Yeah.
What do you say to that, and how do you combat that?
You know, I feel like it's an interesting topic, right? Because, you know, I'm just going to speak candidly. You've, yeah, got one youth maybe, right, who, he's been on the block for the last, I don't know, 2 years, right? And he comes to the booth, and I've got another youth who's never seen a bag of marijuana in his life, mm-hmm, you know? And they're in the room at the same time, and I'm asking them to do something. I'm asking them to give me a genuine representation of them. I can't ask the guy who's been on the block for 2 years to not tell me his story because it makes me uncomfortable, or because I feel like it might perpetrate something to someone else, right? That's his lived experience, and that's, mm-hmm, I can't take that away from him. Yeah. However, I'm gonna say sad because I can't think of a better word, but however sad that might be, it is what it is, you know? Right. And that is something I think people also have to realize, right? Because as much as you wanna reach out to the people who are speaking about these, you know, speaking on the vices of life, and I want to say maybe glorifying some violence, mm-hmm, and I can't ask someone to hide their story because I feel uncomfortable, or because, you know what I mean? And that's what I think is happening a lot with hip hop. It's a very easy target. I think because the culture in of itself is very open to content, right? You've got, mm-hmm, conscious rappers, and you've got rappers who only rap about drugs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the same world, sometimes even on the same song, right? I think it's about understanding that music is just a medium.
Right.
You know, it's really just a platform, right? And I think a lot of times people associate the platform with a people, right? And that is where I think things get tricky, right? So at large, I would say to anybody who feels like, you know, the music maybe perpetrates a certain lifestyle or certain negative aspects, I would say, I mean, it was there anyways. It just so happens you're hearing about it. And yeah, maybe it's not for everyone, but I guarantee you it's for someone, mm-hmm, you know. And that's another thing I've realized too. You know, it's always the question of like good versus bad and good morals versus bad morals, but you know, I think it's such a gray area, you know, especially in growing up in this neighborhood. I mean, you know, there's people with degrees living wild lives, you know?
Yeah.
And that's another thing I also feel like needs to be addressed, where, you know, beyond how the system is designed, I think understanding, like, anybody is susceptible, right? I think once we move the conversation beyond, like, you know, at-risk youth, which I think once you say everyone automatically sees a black kid.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I think we have to move beyond that. Because like I said, the most successful, or the most I would say passionate of my participants is a Caucasian Portuguese kid. You know what I mean? And his race, ironically, fuels him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he feels like he has to compete. You know, he feels like a minority. But, you know, the great part about, I think, the lesson I've learned through him is he doesn't care, right? And that's the whole point of my program, right? Is whatever opportunities or challenges are in front of you, you should feel confident because you're in a program, you're around people who think like you, you're around mentors, you're around, you know, you've got a whole system behind you. And he understands that. I mean, not just him, but just to use him as an example, right, where he understands how he's being perceived and is doing his best to not hide his story.
I think, you know, I got goosebumps hearing that because I think, you know, what I'm getting from you is like a big piece is that authenticity.
It's
and being
genuine,
true
to
who you
are. Yeah.
And I think, you know, in general, with any type of programs for youth, that's often left out is the authenticity. And it's not being scared of your story and what you've gone through and, you know, learning from that, which I think, you know, you help the youth do is kind of learn from their experiences and kind of take, yes, you may have gone through something negative, but that's not the end of your
story.
Exactly.
Which I think is hard for them. At this age, you know, I think for myself, you know, between 14 and 21, everything was the end of the world, right? So, you know, for me, it's just about helping them feel confident taking risks on themselves, you know, which is something I felt like I never had a chance to do. You know, I'm an older son. I've got two younger brothers, you know, that I when I was growing up, I was taking care of them. So I've always been in this kind of service framed mindset.
Right.
So, you know, seeing these guys and watching them do what they do, you know, I think having someone or an entity support you, even when you're just, you know, you're just practicing, does a lot to fuel you to get in. And that's what it is. Because I think music, unlike anything else, you know, you go to school, you know how to become a doctor, you know, you do your whatever, you go to med school, you do a test, and you're done. You know, 7-10 years. Music, you can get on in your first week, you can get on 10 years, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think industries that kind of, that fluctuate or that where there's no real formula for success, the support system is everything, you know? And that's why I think race is important, but it's also important to look beyond it. And that's why I think the program is important. Like I said, it's not about being white or black, but I want you to feel comfortable telling your story to someone who's white, black, or Indian, right?
Right.
That's another thing. It's some people are uncomfortable hearing it, but there are some people dying to hear it. And that's what this is about. Because you never know who can help you. You never know
for sure
when they can help you. You know what I mean? So it's about building good relationships. And you know, I would say, like, I want any artist that comes through my program to be competitive with the biggest and the best, you know, just from the space of skills, but also just being genuine, you know, just being themselves. Like I said, I would hate for somebody who's been doing, you know, you've been selling drugs for 2 years and just because someone else, you know what I mean, to appease someone else's interests, we shut you down. I hate that stuff.
Yeah.
It's so tokenizing, you know?
It really is,
yes.
And I'm not a big tokenistic person. So.
I know, I think I went off topic there.
No, it's fine to go off topic on here.
I've got my own issues with, I guess, like city run organizations and organizations at large. I feel like there's I feel like everyone's a little tokenizing in their own way.
For sure, for sure. And, you know, that's what I found in my experiences. And I really try when I work with youth not to tokenize them, right? However, and I'd love to know your thought on this. You know, when I was doing my undergrad, we had a youth come and speak. They were from the child welfare system. And they said they were tokenized, the majority that they were in that system. However, they also said that sometimes tokenism is important to get funding, to get, you know, resources.
Definitely.
And it has to be done for those reasons.
Definitely. Which I still think is, like, kind of messed up. But,
right.
You know, something I someone told me this, a white person told me this, right after I had done a workshop and I was asking them about a grant. And I was speaking on this exact same topic of, you know, just tokenism, right? Because it's like, man, you know, you want to do stuff, but they have stuff specifically just for black people that you can apply for, which I think is cool, right? But, like, I think that's more fucked up than people, my bad.
No, it's okay.
I think that's more messed up than I think people want to admit. But, you know, told me straight up, like, hey, listen, if someone's going to give you $25,000 just for being black, be as black as you can be, right? Because at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, there's your pride and there's, you know, how you perceive you, but there's a system bigger than you.
Yeah.
You know, you could do your best and fight and be as righteous as you want, but, you know, play the game. You got to play the game before you can change it. And I think it's important that, you know, people of color do realize, like, they have to take advantage of those opportunities, but you also have to not live in that realm.
Right.
You know.
You know, and I learned that a few years after my advocacy career. You know, I was very much, we're going to change the system. I'm going to change everything. That's why I got into public policy. It was all about that. But I slowly started to learn that, you know, you may not be able to change the system. So how do you work with the system to make the change?
And you got to support the ones doing the work.
Yeah.
You know, I will say something about the not-for-profit sector, and hopefully the people listening don't take offense if they do fit in this category, but a lot of these organizations aren't doing the work.
Yes.
You know, you get the money, some of these organizations, you know, you $200,000 and you're supposed to be working with X amount of youth, and you know, you do the tally, you know, like they really work with 10 youth, but on paper they're gonna put 50, and you know, these grant organizations aren't chaperoning the process as well as they claim either, you know? Yeah. For example, our program never once been funded. We've been doing this for 5 years, and I've come to understand that it's bigger than that. You know,
right.
I think even I think conversations we've had, it's bigger than us even just now being black, because yeah, sure, we can apply for money just now being black, but then you realize, like, oh, it's who you know, it's you gotta go meet the grantor, you know, and then so
gotta play the game.
Yeah, you know, you constantly have, you know, I would say the downside of the sector is, besides the bureaucracy or whatever, you know, just slowing things down, it's also like you've got people in this, you know, positions of power abusing their power. You know, you've got, and I don't mean abusing as far as you know, nepotism is high, you know what I mean? You've got a lot of people in jobs that they know they're not qualified for.
yeah.
You know, and I imagine that's the same everywhere. But I'm saying in a sector like this where, like, lives, you know what I mean? And I know for some people it's just a job, but, like, the people you're serving, this is their
life,
life, right?
Yeah.
And that is where I find it's a little tricky, right? Because, yeah, you know, a lot of these programs usually run, you know, you've got a place open from 3 to 7, right? So the youth are there for 4 hours, but that's 4 hours out of a 24-hour day. You know what I mean? How much are you really steering them from? How much, you know what I mean? But there's this, oh, we're doing so much.
Right.
What I'm saying is, you can't stop a kid from selling drugs. Okay, so I think the more important thing is not to steer them away from drugs, right? But to find something that they will replace drugs with.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And a lot of times, Or not just drugs, like whatever they're doing. A lot of times, right, you've got a kid who's 14, 15, 16. One, they're doing this because they're broke, maybe their neighborhood, but it's also just lack of anything else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I'm at school for 8 hours, right, a school that I already feel like doesn't like me, I don't fit in, I'm not doing well in any class, everybody's talking down to me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm now going to the one place where I feel safe, secure, and, you know, people might, you know what I'm trying to say?
Right.
But I
think it also elevates, you know, an individual's confidence a little bit, mm-hmm. you know? Like, they have this power if they're selling drugs.
Yes.
And, you know, it ups them a bit, right?
Yeah.
And then that continuously if you don't have a good worker, you know, doesn't know how to take what they're really going through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can we, okay, so, like, confidence is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do now to, like you were saying,
yeah.
you know, like, work with the confidence, right?
I think confidence is skill-based. You know, I think
yeah.
Anybody who knows anything really well, you know, you're letting people know,
yeah.
you know, not to say that's what confidence is, but, you know, I'm good at music. It's not that I think I'm the greatest. I'm learning every day, right?
Sure.
But I know where I fit in, and I make sure to excel there as often as possible. And that's it. And I think anybody given that opportunity will do the same. And that's why that's why I love the program, right? Because, you know, Miguel, the same youth, same
mm-hmm.
Portuguese kid, he actually sat in the program for 12 months and said nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this kid 5 days a week for a whole year, and he just sat in the room. You know, so the year after, when he finally got his chance to present, his chance to step up, he didn't hesitate, you know,
right.
and he went for it, knowing all the, you know, feeling all the barriers, you know, and that inspired youth, other youth in the room as well. And like I said, you know, that's the beauty of music, where I think to the outside world, you look at the program, you say, oh, the program is framed for this type of person. What I'm saying is, no, the program is framed for this type of character, this type of personality, this type of mindset, you know what I mean? And kind of looking beyond that. But because you don't get funding for that, or you can't, I don't know how to quantify that.
Right, yeah.
It's hard for me to put that. So, okay, you know, I mean, you've seen the numbers, right?
We're
studios full every day, you know, turning people away every day. Still, you know, I don't feel like this is limited to music, is what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, I think given the right context, you can literally attach this to anything. You know, film, cooking, schoolwork. You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's just it's just being creative and being mindful of who you're serving, and that's it. I honestly think, you know, just work in the sector. You know, I think tokenism will be there. I think it's more of an issue on the ground level, like on the frontline level.
Definitely.
But yes, I'm bouncing all over the place.
No, it's fine. I hate to cut it short. I could talk another hour about all this
man,
stuff.
I didn't realize.
Right? So I'm going to ask you the very last question
yes.
that has ironically become, well, not ironically, but has become the trademark question of the show.
Yes.
What does advocacy mean to you?
What does advocacy mean to me? I think advocacy to me is people speaking up to other people in a position of power. I think sometimes that is other people in a position of power. I think it's oftentimes people not in the position of power, but I think advocacy is dialogue, it's conversation, it's a step towards action and revolution,
mm-hmm.
which I think is important constantly. I think things have to change, and, you know, new policies, new systems, new ideas need to be incorporated into our life, into our culture.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's difficult at first, but, you know, I think with time, everything is possible. And, you know, another anecdote is, you know, I think everyone is getting to where they're going anyways, right? So I think advocacy is a good way of kind of tracking where you are in your progress or your conversation.
I think that's great. I was just writing that down.
Yeah.
I think it's a good way to end. Would you like to say anything else before we end the show?
Definitely. If you guys are looking for any mixing, mastering, recording, or any audio services, please feel free to check out our website, www.justovermusic.com. You'll find out information on our artists, programs, and services. So once again, that's www.justovermusic.com. My name is Frederick Brabi, creative director at Just Over Music. Thank you guys very much for having me. Salvatore.
Thank you.
Incredible.
We'll post the link. We'll post the link at the bottom of the description for the episode. Your right to speak will be posted on the second Wednesday of every month. If you're a child youth that would like to be on the show, or you have an idea of what topic we should be talking about, please email me at yourrighttospeak@gmail.com. That's yourrighttospeak@gmail.com. Let's raise awareness together.
This concludes this month's episode of CYC Podcast. Tune in next time for more discussions on child and youth care. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. Visit us on our website at cycpodcast.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cycpodcast.